over the course of the last number of sugyas, we had a chance to dip in at several different points over the course of the perek into various topics in Zroim, Kachim, and Taurus. I thought maybe we could take some time now to bring together, to lock it all the nitzotzes, to bring together all the bits and pieces in a more organized fashion. Let's talk a little bit about Zroim, let's talk a little about Taurus, and then we'll end with Kachim, where we have spent more time than the other two. In terms of Zroim, I think there were two issues that we touched upon. One was Mitzvah Satulis Ba'aretz, and the other was a little bit of Orla. We saw, and both of them brought us back from different parts of Pesachim, brought us back to that very significant Mishnah, the end of the first parag of Kiddushin, Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, and the series of Mishnayos Ba'Klalei Mitzvos. The Mishnah tells, has a rule about which mitzvahs apply in Eretz Yisrael, which mitzvahs apply even in Chutz Laretz. And the Mishnah's rule was a mitzvah Tuluya Ba'aretz is no hegas al Ba'aretz. If it's a mitzvah Tuluya Ba'aretz, if it's an agricultural mitzvah, then it will generally apply only in Eretz Yisrael. But non-agricultural mitzvahs apply all over the world. So in terms of the... So we came to see that that's... So there are many exceptions to the second half of that. There are plenty of mitzvah she'en... Maybe not plenty. There are a number of mitzvah she'en and tluya ba'aretz, which still apply only in Eretz Yisrael. There are a number of non-agricultural mitzvahs, which are nevertheless limited to Eretz Yisrael. And that was part of the larger discussion Rabbi Shechter puts together, the seven different aspects of Eretz Yisrael. So this Mishnah is talking specifically about Kedusha Zaretz. Kedusha Zaretz, the Kedusha of the soil, the fact that the dirt of Eretz Yisrael has the Kedusha that the dirt in the rest of the world does not have. So that's what drives the mitzvahs of Tluyas Ba'aretz. Trumas and Meisers and Shemitah and Yovel and Lekot Shikha and Peah, things of that sort. Seder Zroim, most of Seder Zroim, applies only in Eretz Yisrael because it's driven by Kedushas Haaretz. And as we saw, other Din of Eretz Yisrael, there are other Din of Eretz Yisrael that drive other mitzvahs. One of the distinguishing characteristics, two distinguishing characteristics of mitzvahs HaTluyas Ba'aretz, which are driven specifically by Kedushas Haaretz, is that Kedushas Haaretz is limited both in time and in place. Kedushas Haaretz is limited in time in the sense that Gemara tells us the Kedushas Haaretz only, the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael, the first time around, was the Kibush, was the conquest. So that's why, even when they entered Eretz Yisrael under Yehoshua, Trumas and Maaser did not apply immediately. Shemitah and Yovel did not apply immediately. Gemara tells us they only started applying V'achar Zayin Shekavshu V'Zayin Shechilku. It took them 7 years to conquer, another 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. As Rav Shach likes to say, the chiluk was the Gemar HaKibush, the completion of the conquest was actually giving it out. And after those 14 years, that point the Kibush was complete, the Kibush v'chiluk, and that's when the Kedushas Haaretz began, and that's why the classic mitzvos HaTluyas Ba'aretz, Trumas and Maitzos and Shemitah and Yovel and so forth, they only started applying in year 15. This first Shemitah that the Jews had was the 21st year they were in Eretz Yisrael, because the first 14 years didn't count. The first Yovel was year 64, because the first 14 years didn't count. Trumas and Maaser only began in year 15. Okay, so that's as opposed to other aspects of Eretz Yisrael, like Kedushas HaMikdash and the Mitzar for the Tzibur, that may have begun already earlier. The fact that Eretz Yisrael belongs to Klal Yisrael, the Gemara says that may even have begun centuries earlier in the days of Avraham Avinu. So that's the limitation of the boundaries of Kedushas Haaretz in terms of time is only began after Zayin Shekavshu v'Zayin Shechilku. Then there's also a limitation in terms of place, a spatial, geographic limitation, and that's because the Kibush was the original Mekadesh of Eretz, so in terms of Kedushas Haaretz, and the Kibush was undone when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the base of Mikdash and kicked us all out. They sent us into Galus. So the Kedushas Haaretz had to be reconstructed when the Jews came back under Ezra the Bayi Sheni. And as we saw, that was a narrower, Ezra only took a smaller amount of land. The larger amount of land that was taken under Yehoshua, that's called the Eretz Shekavshu Ole Mitzrayim, when they came up from Mitzrayim, that was much larger. When they came back from Babel, the smaller group, and the Gemara says it may have been also strategy in this, they adopted the Ole Babel, took a smaller chunk of land. And that's what we saw, that if it's classical, Mitzvah Tulias Ba'aretz, Shumas and Maishas and so forth, only applied during the Bayis Sheni period, and from then on, in the narrower area of Ole Babel. Well, we saw, for instance, the Rambam said in the context of Smicha, it applies to the bigger area of Ole Mitzrayim. That's because that's not Kedusha HaSaharetz. So that was one Zeram Ish that came up. Again, with this idea that mitzvahs HaTluyos Ba'aretz, in general, the vast majority of agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael, and that's because of the Kedusha HaSaharetz. And that's why it has only begins after Zayin Shekav Shev Zayin Shechilku, and that's why by the Sheni period and on, it's only Eretz Ole Bavo. The other issue we touched that we came back to later, in the last sugya on Daf Dalet, was to look at one of those exceptions. The Mishnah tells us in Kiddushin, but here's an exception, Orla is an agricultural mitzvah, which applies in Chutz La'aretz as well. We had a chance to explore a little bit of the mysteries of Orla's Chutz La'aretz. Let's remember, the basic din of Orla, again, is you have a tree, it only applies to a tree. We said this is the Doraisa, this is where you have a notion of Priya Eitz versus Priya Adama level of Daraisa. Like Rachas is Drabanim, but it's Ke'en Daraisa of Arla. Arla only applies if it's the fruit of a tree. If you pick a pepper, you plant a pepper, so it's always the first year. The plant only lasts one season. But the whole din of Arla is only, the Torah says, you have a tree in Eretz Yisrael, that's the way the Torah describes it, a tree in Eretz Yisrael, the first, if this is a species of tree that gives fruit the first 3 years, so then any fruit that grows during those first 3 years are Arla, that means they're Asur Bachila, they're Asur Bahana, Pashtas, they're Tone Srefa. Can't do anything with them. Fourth year already has Revai, and then the fifth year and on, you're totally scot-free. That's the din in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah only, the Tosek and Chumash, describes Arla as applying only in Eretz Yisrael. But the Mishnah, that we just discussed, Kiddush Lama Zayin, says, well, Arla applies to Chutzaras also. So what does that mean? So the Gemara has two shitos in Kiddushin we discussed. Either that means that Arla's Chutzaras is the Din Rabbanan, or the way we probably assume that it is Daraisa, it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. The Torah Shebichsav only speaks to Arla in Eretz Yisrael, and the halacha l'moshe misinai expands it to all over the world. Why do you need halacha l'moshe misinai, as opposed to it being part of the regular Din? So that's what we saw, a fascinating Din, and this you sowed on a Daraisa level by Arla, became the tool that allowed us to understand the Avelos Sugya and Pesachim. The Gemara says, based on the Mishnah we saw, the last Mishnah in Orla says that Orla's Chutz La'aretz, it's not just that the Suffolk is Mutter, even more than Suffolk is Mutter, as long as you're not really sure. And that's what the Gemara expanded on. The Gemara tells, we saw the Gemara told some stories, the top of Lama Tesam Alf and Kiddushin, and the one Amora says, another Amora, you know, give me Arla's Chutz as long as I don't know. What I don't know won't hurt me. Which is not the way halacha usually works, but it is the way halacha works here. And that's what Zohar B'chan develops in Kavutz Ha'aretz, and Reshach develops further in Dik V'Atzon, that Arla's Chutz La'aretz, and built in to the halacha Moshe Misinai, was that Arla's Chutz La'aretz is Aser if you know it to be Arla's Chutz La'aretz. Arla's Chutz La'aretz is one of the few areas, we said Mamzeris and perhaps Avelus also, one of these few areas of halacha where knowledge, like a quantum phenomenon, that observation actually makes it true. It depends on what your philosophy is on quantum mechanics. But here, the rare case where it's not just if I don't know, then I didn't know that it was Aser. If I didn't know, then it's Mutter. The Iser is only applies when I know. Yediyah, knowledge that this is Aral's Chutzars, makes it Aser Al's Aral's Chutzars. If either there's a Suffolk in Din, there's a Machlokus, even if it's a shita yichida, we would not normally be make-alike, but by Arla we are. Similar by Avelis as well. And if I don't know the mitzias, I don't know the mitzias. Even if you do know the mitzias, when I go to the store to buy apples, I don't have to ask, are they Arla apples or not? Suffolk is mutter. And even if you know that they're Arla, so they grew in your backyard, you're allowed to not only allow me to eat them, you can feed them, you can provide them to me. Hayitachin lifnei even, and she says, no. Because you're not allowed, they're a trade for you, but they're kosher for me. Because you know they're Arla's Chutzar, so for you they're trade. I don't know they're Arla's Chutzar, and therefore for me it's kosher. Kishem that a a Kohen could be the Masadir Kiddushin to marry off a Yisrael to a Grusha. Even though the Kohen himself is not allowed to marry the Grusha, but for Yisrael is Mutter. So same thing here. If you know this is Aron's Chutzar, it's for you, it's Aser. For me, it's Mutter. A remarkable thing. Or even to give a much more basic example, if I had fleishiks for lunch mm-hmm. and you didn't, so I could give you a milchik snack at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not allowed to eat it, but you are, because I'm fleishiks and you're not. There's nothing wrong with my giving you the snack that's kosher for you, even though I'm not allowed to have it. So this fruit, it's all chutzlarts. For me, it's aser. For you, it's mutter. Because for me, it's yodua. For you, it's an yodua. A remarkable din. Okay. So those are the two areas of zram that came up primarily of the last month or two, with a general idea of mitzvahs ba'aretz and how that kedusha aretz compares to other aspects of Eretz Yisrael and orla, and specifically orla's chutzlarts. In terms of taharas, we came across two areas in taharas as well. One was the steps of becoming tahar, and the other one was the concept of hechsher ochlin lekabel tuma. So let's just lay this out in a hopefully a terse but organized way. When you survey the halachas of tuma and tahara overall, they fall into three basic categories. Three sub areas of taharas. One area is the study of various sources of tumah, various things which are tameh in of themselves. That's what we call an av ha-tumah. A mace is tameh because it's a mace. A zav is tameh because he's a zav. A mitzora is tameh because he has saras. A nevela, meat of an animal that died without proper shechita, is tameh because, not the mal chamav is mace, not was a makabel tumah from something else. He or she or they or it are tameh because of what they are. So that's, if it's a source of tumah, the tumah in and of itself, that's what we call an av ha-tumah. One major area of the halachas of tumah tara is the study of the various avos ha-tumah. How you define them? Who's called a zav? Who's called a nida? Who's called a mitzora? What's called an avela? And the study also of how each av ha-tumah transmits tumah. You may remember the Mishnah in the beginning of Kalim quoted it, Bava Kama Daf Beis, that different avos ha-tumah transmit tumah differently, sometimes only by touching, sometimes even by carrying, sometimes ohel. So that's one area of the halachas of tumah v'taharah. The second major area of the three areas is the transmission of tumah. Kabbalah's tumah and toldos. Because the psukim tell us that not only are these avos ha-tumah tumah in of themselves, but they can even transmit tumah to other things. They can pass it on in sometimes several steps. What are the things that can be mekabel tumah? So it's Adam, Kalim, Ochlam, Mashkim. Are the people, Kalim, food and drink, are the four categories of things in the world that can receive tumah from something. They can catch tumah. That can be mekabel tumah. We call that a vlad ha-tumah. So typically, if you have something which is a source of tumah, the ava tumah. So let's say you have a dead mouse, a sheretz, mace, is ava tumah. I touch the sheretz. I'm an Adam. I touch the sheretz. Now I was makabel tumah. I'm a rishon tumah. I'm one step removed, first degree. And then if I touch food, so that food might become a sheni tumah, and so forth. And as you get further and further out, you're less and less susceptible to tumah. So that's sort of the second area of tumah v'tara, is a study of kabbalah's tumah. Kabbalah's tumah, both in terms of how far did the tumah travel? Adam and Kalim can only become a rishon. Food and drink can even go to a sheni, and if it has kedusha, it can even go perhaps further. And then also to know which Adam is royal kabbal tumah, which Kalim are royal kabbal tumah, which types of food and which types of drink. And in terms of that, we specifically focused the whole big Maseches Kalim. 29 of its prakim are about which Kalim are kabbal tumah, which are not. We focused on which foods are makabel tumah and which are not. And we saw specifically one of the unique rules for food, in order to be makabel tumah, food has to have been rinsed. It has to be edible. It has to be something that's typically for human consumption. But that's not enough. It also has to have been rinsed. And sometimes, especially something that grows from the ground, at some point after it was picked from the ground, it got wet with one of the official Zayin Mashk, one of the official seven liquids. It doesn't have to be wet now, but if at some point after it was picked it got wet, even if it got dried off, the moment it gets wet, in a way that I'm happy with, either the owner actually rinsed it off, I took the grapes and I rinsed them, or they got wet on their own, but in a way that the owner is happy. That the Gemara Darshan from Sukkim, and that actually came up in the Sukkim, the Botrin and Moskin, that the food, the grapes, the olives, being wet with liquid is only going to create hechsher if it's in a way that I would be happy. If I'm unhappy that they're wet, it may cause them to spoil. That's not called hechsher. But if it's an edible food which got rinsed with one of the seven liquids in a way that the owner is happy, so then it's mukhshar, and even after it dries, it remains forever after susceptible to tumah. What are the seven liquids? He said there's a Rosh HaTevis, Yad, Shochat, Dam, Yud Dalad, Shin Ches Tes, Dalad Mem. The Rosh HaTevis, just to help you remember, it's the seven liquids are Yayin, and Devash, Shemen, Cholav, Tal, Dam, and Mayim. Seven liquids. Okay, so that's the idea of Hechsher L'Kabel Tumah. That came up in the discussion of the two Talmidim with the Botzer and the Moskin. And then the other issue that came up in the world of Taurus is from the third area. We said before, three major areas in Hilchos Taurus: study of Avos HaTumah, the study of Kabbalah's Tumah, and the third area is the study of how you can become Tahar. What's the process for becoming Tahar? Not everyone and everything is able to become Tahar. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But specifically, what we saw in the Sugya Yoledes Daf Gimel is that food and drink typically cannot become tahar. If they become tahar, typically they're stuck forever, with one or two exceptions. Adam and Kalim, people can usually become tahar, and Kalim, other than ceramic, other than cheres, can also become tahar. Typically, the tahar involves going to mikvah. There are cases where you need more as well. Sometimes you need stages before, but typically the first stage is going to mikvah. Going to mikvah doesn't make you fully tahar. Going to mikvah drops you down a level to merely being a tevul yom. Now you're someone who went to mikvah today. You're sort of the equivalent of a sheni l'tama, and you're tevul yom. And now you're not as tameh as you used to be, but the tahara won't be completed until tzeisak ochavim, until night comes. So at that point, once you're a tevul yom, you're permitted to eat ma'aser sheni, but you're still not allowed to eat truma or karbanos. Most times when you're tameh, an adam or kli, once you have har of shemesh, once night comes, you stop being a tevul yom and you're totally tar. Usually it's two stages, tevila and har of shemesh. In between tevila and har of shemesh, you're called a tevul yom. But we said, every once in a while, the Torah says there's a third stage you need, which is bringing a karban, typically the next day. Until you bring that karban, you call them mechuser kippurim. You're missing your kapar. Not kapar in the sense of getting rid of chet, but kapar in the sense of a karban cleansing the tumah. So in those cases where you need a karban, like Yoledes, so then until you bring after the Har of Shemesh, until you bring the karban, you're no longer a tevul yom. Now you're called the mechuser kippurim. Mechuser kippurim is even less tameh than the tevul yom, only a little bit of tumah left. So he's allowed to eat truma, but he's still not allowed to eat karbanos. Sort of the equivalent of a shlishi l'tumah. So those are the two major areas of tumah, tahara, that came up over the course of the foregoing sugyas. The issue of hechsher l'kabel tumah and the issue of the understanding tevul yom and mechuser kippurim. And finally, let's talk a little bit about tachim. We had spoken, so a couple of issues came up. One was the fact that to only bring a karban, once the first base of Mikdash was built, forever after, it became permanently usur, forever, to be makir of a karban anywhere but in the Mikdash. So the first couple hundred years of Jewish history, there was often times when it was a heter bamos, when you were allowed to bring karbanos in private locations, a private backyard mizbeach. The Gemara tells us that in the Zachim, once the base, first base finish was built, that heter went away forever. From that point on, a permanent Easter against bringing a carbon anywhere but in the Mikdash. The question is, what do you mean by Mikdash? Is it just a location, or do you actually need the building. So we saw a Mishnah, the end of the Adios, that the Maritz Chayas sent us to. The second last Mishnah, Adios, Tanam tells us, Makrivan Afabisha in Bayis, that the Makam HaMikdash retains its Kedusha, unlike Kedushas Ha'ara, as we mentioned before, which disappeared at certain point in Jewish history during the Gaul's Babel. Kedusha Ha'aretz, Kedusha Shlomo was forever. So even though there's no building, there's still the capacity to bring karbanos. That was raised theoretically and practically. It was raised theoretically by Yitzhi Hirsch Kalischer, who had Talmud of Kiv Eger, who had this idea that maybe we could buy back the Harabais from the Ottoman Empire and begin to be makar karbanos. The plan was never successful, but he worked on that theoretical possibility. And then we saw the Maris Chai suggested, it wasn't just a theoretical possibility, but he thinks historically, over the first couple of centuries of Gaulus Edom, there actually were Jews who were sporadically being makar karbanos, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, but going on to Harabais to be makar karbanos, particularly Karban Pesach, whenever they could avoid detection by the Romans. So that was one major issue in terms of the Kedushas Makom. We also spoke about the two major types of karbanos, kachim kachim and kachim kalim. So you look through Mishnayos Ezeh Makom in the fifth parak of Zvachim. Let me to be more precise. The two categories of karbanos behema. There also are karbanos of Alf and there's Menachos and so on and so forth. But Ezeh Makom is concerned with karbanos behema. And karbanos behema, as we saw, come in two major flavors, kachim kachim and kachim kalim. And they're distinguished in a number of different ways. They're distinguished in terms of how you're makar of them. Kachim kachim are more limited. You can only makar them on the right side of the azara and the tzafon. And the eating of kachim kachim is only by the male kohanim in the azara, like any other avoda. And they're only eaten liyom v'layla. While the kachim kalim, all kachim kalim you can makar throughout the azara. All kachim kalim can be eaten throughout Yerushalayim, and almost all kachim kalim you get an extra day. You get an extra day, and that was something that the Gemara picked up on Pesachim Dav Gimel Rav, and that got us raised the issue as well of the Yom of Kachim. And while in most of Halacha, Hayom Halacha Halayim, most Halacha, the Halachic 24-hour day begins at night, but in Kachim, the Halachic 24-hour day begins in the morning and goes until the end of the night. And so kachim kachim are really eaten for Yom Belayla is really one halachic day, one halachic kachim day. And that's why we had a serious havamina that maybe kachim kalim should be for two halachic kachim days, which would be shnei yamin v'shnei leilos, and we needed drushes to demonstrate that no, that's actually not the way it works, it's only shnei yamin v'layla echad. That came as well in trying to make sense of what's going on with Karban Pesach. So many rabbis said that the Yom of Kachim for Pesach is really the day of the 14th, or the 9th, of the 15th, which is why perhaps Rashi held that there was meaningfulness to baking matzah the night of the 15th, because it is fundamentally it's a time of Asiyas Pesach, except as Balayla you can't shech the Karban Balayla, and that's why there was a serious Havamina, as Rashi discusses in the beginning of Elul Dvarim, the serious Havamina that you should be able to eat the Karban Pesach the Yom Yudal. We need a drasha to tell you that is not the case, because the Yom of the Karban Pesach in the Kachem sense is the day of the 14th and the night of the 15th. He spoke briefly about Kiyush Adayim V'Raglayim, a kohen who didn't wash his hands and feet in the kiyar is not allowed to do karbanos. It's on the list. The first mission, the second paragraph of Zachar, is a long list of people who are disqualified from doing avos karbanos. If they do, the karban is pasul. Shalom, one example is a zar, a non-kohen. Another example is a kohen who's not wearing his big day kahuna. Yet another example is shalom rechutz yadayim v'raglayim. If you don't wash your hands from the hands and feet, absolutely possible. That came up here in terms of Kiyush Adayim V'Raglayim from the Kiyur and Lina, how long at a certain point your Kiyush Adayim, the discussion in Tanam, if I stay up all night, do I have to rewash when the morning comes or not? And then finally, let's close with the beautiful Minchas Chinuch and Beis HaLevi, the discussion of eating kachim. Eating kachim. The mitzvah of eating kachim. The mitzvah of eating kachim. So, later in our Masechta, in the Kachim Prakim, in the discussion of Karban Pesach, it's eminently clear for many Mishnais that to eat a Karban Pesach means to eat at least a Kazayis of Karban Pesach. You're not Mekayem the Mitzvah of Achilas Karban Pesach unless you have a Kazayis. Very, very clear in many Mishnais. If you can't eat a kazayis, you're not allowed to register for Karban Pesach, and so on and so forth. It comes out repeatedly. Achilas Karban Pesach is a kazayis, like any mitzvah, almost any mitzvah achilas, like matzah, where we have not been zocha yet to eat Karban Pesach in our lifetimes. Halavai, we should be zocha in the future. We know achilas matzah, achilas the kazayis. You have a mitzvah achilas, that means kazayis. Same for mitzvah of achila, isurim of achila, mitzvah achila is matzah, and mitzvah achila is carbon pesach. How about other carbonos? Is it mitzvah to eat carbonos in general? As we were just discussing, kachikashim, kachikalim, different details, who gets to eat it, when you get to eat it, where you get to eat it, but achila is kachim. So the question is, how, do you have a rule there as well, that achila is kachim has to be the kazayis? So the Minchas Chinuch and the Beis HaLevi deal with this. And the problem is that later in Maseches Pesachim, a steer between Pesachim and Pesachim. Later in Maseches Pesachim, he said, you gotta have a kazayis. By the other hand, here we talk about Higiyani Kapul. By the story of the three Kohanim, give him a base. Higiyani Kapul. He got only a Kapul is less than a kazayis, the size of a bean. So he only got a bean of when they were giving out the Lecha Panim at every Shabbos. Every Friday they bake Lecha Panim. The next day Shabbos they put Lecha Panim on. They take off last week's. The Lecha Panim stays there for a week and then it gets taken off and divided amongst the two Mishmaros of Kohanim. And those are ending their week of duty and those are beginning their week of duty. Mishmar Yotze, Mishmar Nichnas. So the Gemara describes that one Kohen got a Kazais, another one says he only got a Kapul, and the third one used inappropriate language because Nav Halotah. So the question is, what are you accomplishing if you have a Kapul? Have a kapul, it's less than a kazayis. What did he accomplish? He didn't have a kazayis. It's very clear, Leinu Masech, the less than a kazayis of Karban Pesach is a zero. So to hear it sound like Yana Kapul, it sounds like there is a kiyum in eating less than a kazayis of Lecha upon him. On the other hand, in Yumadaf Lamates, it said that Snuin Moshchin Yasidei, and if they weren't able to get, and that's the Tos Rash, Tos Hashem deal with, if they were able to get a kazayis, then they would want to take. But if they couldn't get a kazayis, then they would just let the guys who are grabbers, who are less polite, they would grab and take, and the tznuin, the more polite kohanim, would stand back. Well, why are they standing back? Isn't there a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah. So unless you say, it was a mitzvah, but it's also a mitzvah to be polite. But it sounds to the Tos Yisham like there isn't really a mitzvah anyways, if it's less than a kazayis. But there's sort of a mitzvah. So what does this all mean? So the Minchas Chinuch we saw, he raises the issue of chatzi shir b'mitzvah. You know, if I have a chatzi shir of an iser, so that's also aser. That's the opening sugi of Maseches Yuma. Chatzi shir we pass aser in the Torah. The Minchas Chinuch wants to know in a very classical Minchas Chinuch type of way, have a chatzi shir of mitzvah. The same way chatzi shir of an iser is a quasi iser. If I don't have a whole kazayis of matzah, is there a value to eating half a kazayis? Is it a chatzi mitzvah or it's a zero? So he tries to relate it to this. And then Beis Halevi, but the Minchas Chinuch gets very stuck with this stira. The Beis Halevi adds a question and answers everything. Beis Halevi adds a question. He says there seems to be a disconnect in Rambam, and the Avi Ezri says it's not true. The Rambam, it's not true. And I think the answer is probably a Tos Sofer. It probably means Rambam, as the Sefer Chinuch quotes. The Rambam counts a mitzvah of eating Karban Pesach and a mitzvah of being makar of Karban Pesach. The Rambam also counts a mitzvah of bringing the other karbanos, chatas and so forth, and a mitzvah of eating the other karbanos. However, the Ramban does not. The Sefer HaChinuch records this in Mitzvah Kuf Beis, and the Ramban did not count the mitzvah of eating karbanos as a separate mitzvah. The Rambam did, and the Chinuch always followed the Rambam's count. So the Chinuch has it in Mitzvah Kuf Beis. The Rambam has it at the beginning of Maaseh Karbanos Perek Yud. Separate mitzvah of eating the chatzas, eating the yashim, eating the kachshi kachshi. And the Ramban says, no, I don't count it, because this is eating the carbon is not a separate mitzvah, it's a part of bringing the general mitzvah of bringing the carbon. Fret the Beis Halevi, again, in the Beis Halevi way it's printed, it says Rambam, but he probably means, but that's the Avi Ezri, if Shach pointed out it's not true, he probably meant Ramban. Says how come? I think what he's trying to ask is how come the Ramban said we don't count eating the karbanos as a separate mitzvah, just part of the general mitzvah of bringing the chatzis, bringing the asham, but the Ramban agrees that by Karban Pesach you count a separate mitzvah. Which one is it? What's going on? And the answer, so number one, so now basically he lines up a few things. Number one, by Pesach, we demand the kazayis. But over our other karbanos, higyana kapul. So by other, it's not clear. Higyana kapul, which sounds like there is value to eating less than kazayis. Our gemar psalchim, other than the gemar yuma, it's new emotions to them. Maybe there isn't, maybe there is not a mitzvah of eating less than kazayis. It's not so clear. That's one question. And the other question is, two mitzvah, is there a separate mitzvah of achila or not? By karban Pesach, yes. But by other karbanos, Ramban thought it's not a separate mitzvah. So the Beis HaLevi explained the following. Beis HaLevi explained about karban Pesach, there's a mitzvah, there's a chovas maisa. Every Jew is supposed to eat karban Pesach. The same way every Jew is supposed to eat matzah. It's not just that we have to finish off all the matzah in the box. I have to eat matzah, Leila Seder. You have to eat matzah. It's a be'erev tochu matzah. So too, Karban Pesach. Every Jew, v'achulas ha'basar b'alayla hazeh, every Jew has a mitzvah sachila. Every Jew has to eat a kazayis Karban Pesach. Every Jew has a chovas maisa, chiyav to engage in that behavior of eating Karban Pesach, and achila is kazayis. Bein b'mitzvahs, bein b'yisurim, b'chol terakula, achila means kazayis. If the mitzvah achila is Karban Pesach, the mitzvah chil karban pesach. Everyone has to have the kazayis. That's not the case by other karbanos. The other karbanos, the eating isn't, as Ramban put it, it's not an all independent mitzvah. It's a part of the karban, and the achil of the karban, the Beis Levi suggests, it's not so much that I have a mitzvah to eat it, but there's a mitzvah to make sure that the besar ha-karban is taken care of, to make sure that it gets eaten, which I could do myself. Or someone else could do. Oh. So how does that play out? So by Karban Pesach is actually a chiyah for every Jew to eat Karban Pesach. So every Jew has to eat a kazayis. But by other karbanos, besar kachim in general, we have to take care, it has to get taken care of. So that can either mean I eat it myself, or it can mean I make sure that someone else eats it. So that's what the Tosfos Shem explains, that on the one hand, there is some value to eating even a smaller amount, higiyani kippul, by lechem panim. That would not be the case by Karban Pesach, because it's really more about the totsah. It has to get eaten. So whatever I get to eat, I'm helping it to get eaten. So whether I eat a kazayis, or I eat a kibetz, or I eat a kippul, ultimately everything has to be done. So I took care of this piece, and you took care of that piece, and together we all got it done. Even though I didn't have a kazayis, but I'm helping the mitzvah primarily, but making sure that it is ne'achal, that it gets eaten. So higiyani kippul is meaningful, whereas higiyani kippul might not be meaningful by Karban Pesach. And on the other hand, the fact that achilas kachim outside of Karban Pesach is more totsah driven, it's about getting it done. So that's why, on the one hand, there's value, there's meaningfulness to even having a little bit, even less than kazayis or kippul. And on the other hand, I don't need to be the one to do it. So that's why, if everyone was jumping and grabbing, so if I could get a kazayis, I could actually do a ma'isa achila. So maybe that's something worth shooting for. But if I'm only, anyhow, going to get a kippul, so it has to get eaten. But it's the same mitzvah whether I eat the kippul or someone else eats it. So that's what Beis Levi said. And the Tznuim said, why should we push? Why should we shove? Why should we, if the guy, to get less than the kazayas? So the point is it gets eaten. Whether it gets eaten by my mouth, it gets eaten by someone else's mouth. The Tznuim would stand back, and they would watch and make sure all the Bsar Carver got finished. And they got the same mitzvah of watching and overseeing as they would have if they had actually put the chatzi kazayis, the kapul, in their mouths. That's because, again, while the mitzvah of achilas karban pesach is the actual chovas maisa, the mitzvah by achilas kachim is primarily a chovas totsah. That's why, on the one hand, even eating less than kazayis is meaningful. On the other hand, I could fulfill just as well by watching others and supervising as by eating that kippul myself. And the truth is, and again, that's also why, not the Rambam, but the Ramban counts a separate mitzvah of achilas Pesach, but not a separate mitzvah of achilas Shaar Kachim, because he says, achilas Shaar Kachim, it's a part of the mitzvah, bring the carbon, one of the steps. But by Karban Pesach, it's an independent mitzvah. I have to do a ma'isa achilas. It's not just about the carbon being kasher. And I should just note, as a footnote, in general, as you learn the Kachim Prakim, of Pesachim, you notice that Achila plays much more of a role by Karban Pesach than by any other Karban. Even in terms of the Hechsher HaKarban. In other words, it's only by Karban Pesach where the Karban isn't even kosher if you know it's not going to be eaten. The eating is a necessity for the Karban Pesach in a way that's not for any other. Every Karban, except the Karban Ola, is supposed to be eaten. The mitzvah b'shleim Musa is with the eating. But lamaisa, if no one's going to eat it, and same goes for the part that's supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. If the emur will not be burnt, it's still, as long as you have the dalav olas adam, the carbon is kosher. But other carbonas, the achila is a peripheral piece. It's really about b'mak of the carbon. And then mainly you have to take after the olas adam, the parts emur gone to Mizbeach and the buster gets eaten. But that's peripheral. It's secondary. But the Karban Pesach is not like that. You see a theme going through the Kachim Prakim of Pesachim, is that the Karban Pesach, the Achila is the main point. It's, you see it again and again and again, that the point of the Karban Pesach is to lead up to the Mitzvah Achila's Karban Pesach. If it's not going to lead up to the Mitzvah Achila's Karban Pesach, that's not a Karban Pesach. The relationship of the Karban to the Achila is unique by Karban Pesach. And so this approach to the Beis HaLevi fits in with that whole pattern. He says, yeah, of course, there's an independent mitzvah, achilas karban pesach. It's not just a chelek of bringing the carbon. Adrava, it's almost like the carbon is there to enable the achila by carbon pesach. But by others, the achila is not an independent mitzvah as much as seeing to it that the carbon gets nechal. And that's where all these pieces fall into place. Shkach Hevron. Thank you so much.